there. We were talking about where your children went to high school. So you said...
Larry went to high school until...
Uh-huh.
And Steve was the pusher. The first year that they had high school here, that was just a freshman class.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, so it was sophomore, junior, senior. And then the rest of them all graduated over here.
So when they went to high school in Tobe, did they travel back and forth every day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a school bus.
And it was too much of a hassle. The school bus came down to as far as Riverside, and he would try and catch the
mile
bus there.
1280.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you'd have to do the extra 4 miles.
You'd just have to drive in there, catch the bus. And if you missed the bus, or if I was taking him up, you know, sometimes he'd drove, but if you missed it, well, he'd have to drive on in. Or if he couldn't, well, he missed school, and that was a hassle. And then he got a little cabin to stay in Toke. And he was sick one time, so he was home over the, what was a long weekend, I guess it was like on a Friday or something. Took him back, I think it was on Sunday, and I heard these stories. Larry had a big party at his cabin.
No.
What are you talking about? When? Oh, they told me when. He wasn't in Toke. He was here. We went to the cabin, and somebody had a party at his cabin. There's beer bottles all over. They had built a bonfire out in the yard. They had burned his chair. He had kind of a rocker recliner thing. They had burned it. We found pieces of that in the fire. I was not happy.
Mm-mm.
And it got to be too much of a hassle, and he finally went out to Oregon and got his GED out there, and instead of staying there and
talking,
hassling with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that party, ain't that what friends are for?
Yeah, and then blame him for having this big party, and he wasn't even there, because a couple of his cousins were telling me about it.
Mm.
I said, were you there? Well, no, she was. I said, okay, did you see Larry anywhere? No. Okay, because he was home.
So have you had much connection then with all the folks in Northway then over the years? I would, your neighbors.
Some, not a lot.
Yeah.
We're way up here, they're over there.
Right.
You know, I have more connection with them now than I did before. Because Mona, Mike's girlfriend, she's from over here.
Mm-hmm.
And once we got Erica, we had a little more connection because I wanted her to know a little bit more about her culture.
And
she's
from Northway area, or
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Her mom was raised over here,
mm-hmm.
and her grandma and her great grandpa, and you know, she still has a lot of relatives in the area.
Right.
Huh. She has an aunt who does the post office over here.
Oh. I know her again. Did you do fishing in the summertime at all?
A little.
Mm-hmm.
Not much anymore.
But you used to?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you
used to? Grayling and Pike.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Down on the river? Down near Northway?
The Northway Road. Where Fish Creek and Moose Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There was a real good hole there.
Yeah.
And there'd been a lot of pike caught there. Of course, now... the river runs through there, and it's all mud.
Mm-hmm.
So ended that.
Right.
Grayling from down at Gardner Creek here.
Gardner Creek, the Grayling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dead Man Lake used to do some pike fishing there, but no big ones.
Mm.
Then in, I think, 56, Fish and Wildlife got the bright idea, poison it and plant trout. So they went down and poisoned it, and at that time, 40 Mile Roadhouse had a bunch of dogs, dog team. So Jack Scobie went down to pick up the dead fish. About the biggest one there was like 30 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And for pike, that ain't real big.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But apparently, there a few of them survived out in the weeds.
Yeah.
There was Trout caught a few times, and then pike. The pike were back.
Pike had a feed.
And they were back. Right. Did you ever set up fish camp then, or you just catch a fish and bring them home?
Just catch them.
Bring them home.
Yeah. Go down Desperate Creek once in a while. And,
yeah. 100 ducks at fish camp.
Oh, did you?
Fish Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real good duck lake. And now the rivers went through there. Mud.
Right. So not as many ducks as there used to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd be a few, but it ain't worth hunting anymore.
Any other place around then that's good for ducks now?
Oh, they go up river and then up Mark Creek. There's a pretty good area up there.
Mm-hmm. So you still do that? You still go duck hunting then?
Oh, I haven't for a couple of years. Mm. Get a little old, let the younger ones do it.
Then
with the moose hunting, I learned a long time ago, once you pull the trigger, the work starts.
the work isn't hunting for the moose. It's after you got the moose.
They go out hunting about 10, 15 miles out and butcher them, bring the meat out on the four-wheeler, six-wheelers.
When most boys butcher a moose, that meat is clean. Mm.
This is your boys, is it?
Yeah. They'll skin it and, cut off the legs and they'll lay a sheet out, put it on there, wrap it up. There's not a blade of grass or a piece of moss on it. It's all clean when they get done.
Right.
Well, I taught them how to take care of meat and they improved on it.
Yeah, they did.
It's good. What about caribou, too?
We've been getting very few caribou in recent years, but they come through here.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a couple of days ago, I saw a few headed home.
Yeah, I think yesterday I saw some.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they're back on their way.
Yeah. Actually, I saw four and they went that direction, and then a while later I saw them go that direction. Mm-hmm. I guess they decided they must have been going the wrong way.
That's caribou that travel this way.
Crosswise. I saw the first flock of Canadian geese yesterday flying overhead, coming back. So.
Yeah, and yesterday or day before, I watched hundreds of swans taking off. Hundreds from out there. They're all, we can see a few little lakes out there, and you can see these little white spots around it, and there'd be some flying. They get up and they just fly around and around and around until everybody is ready, and then they line out.
Go away.
Yep, necks all stretched out.
Right. So spring is here.
One year, her brother and I was hunting up the Taylor Highway. Are you familiar up there?
No, I've never been up the Taylor. This summer is going to be my first time. Yeah.
From Mount Fairplay. And we was back in behind Fairplay with the old truck. And we got a moose right at dusk and camped right there. And the next morning, heard a couple of wolves and then the cranes, because there's a lot of berries on Taylor Mountain, and the cranes would spend the night there. And this was interesting. A bunch would take off, and apparently right where we were, there was a draft. They would circle around and they'd hit that draft up to about a certain height and then leave. And the next ones and next ones, we watched them there for quite a while. Hmm. Now there was a bunch of them. That was interesting.
Yeah.
That's what they was doing. They was catching the draft.
Yeah. That helps them, pushes them along, so they don't have to expend as much energy.
Yeah. That picked up their elevation.
Yep.
Yeah. And I had a neighbor down here. He died last fall. He was kind of a comical guy. Yeah. He said, somebody, I don't remember who, says, see that duck there? Yeah. See the size of that head? That brain? Says, he's got brains enough to go south when it gets cold.
And this doesn't.
A brain about that big, you
right.
know.
The way people describe things sometimes reminds me of Christy, when somebody made some remark about camp robbers being so stupid, They figured robins were pretty smart, I guess, but not camp robbers. Christy says, have you ever seen a robin's nest? Yeah. Have you ever seen a camp robber's nest? No, they're smart enough to hide it.
I've never seen one.
No. So there have been changes in the bird population, too, over the years?
Over the years.
Yeah.
What some kind? Years more than others.
Mm-hmm. Sort of cycles, too.
But there's quite a few birds around. Mm-hmm. Run up and down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot them in the ditches. In the brush.
Ducks and stuff.
Hmm.
Grouse, we always got grouse, too.
Do you?
The ones that come in the yard, we don't shoot, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're our friends.
But you grow grouse hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot them in the head with a 22.
Mm-hmm.
You don't waste any meat, and if you miss them, they're not injured.
Right.
You know, you don't blow a hole through the middle of them and have them fly off somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we always taught the kids, and that's probably one reason they're pretty good shots.
Right.
You know, because that grouse head is not a very big target.
Yeah.
I started hunting there in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. 9 years old, and the same thing, grouse and squirrels. Gray squirrels are real good eating,
mm.
And that head ain't very big, and he's not dumb.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be laying on a oak limb. He's the same color as that limb. Finally, you'll see a black spot, the
nice.
Eyes. Yeah.
Right.
And you learn to shoot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And same with rabbits, and then the bigger animals, you don't have any trouble. I had somebody out there in the store, and I told him that I had used a 270 for years on moose. Oh, I said, it's kind of small for a moose, isn't it? I said, 26 moose didn't know that. Then I told him, I said, so I'll bet at least half of them with one shot put it down. You must have been a hell of a good shot. Well, I says, you don't shoot unless you know where your bullet's going to hit, do you? And not another word out of him. But
yeah.
It just rubbed off from the small game, the muskrats.
Mm-hmm.
That teaches you.
Well, yeah,
swimming all over and your head shooting.
Right.
Yeah.
So get behind the head, it's slight damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't get as much
money.
Right.
You get to where you can hit them pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of season, you're a little better at it than you are when they first show up.
Right, right. So that's how you get all your muskrat. You just shoot them. Yeah.
Yeah. These yeah. are trapped.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Traps them.
When the ice is gone, then you can shoot them.
Yeah. Right. But when the ice is in, you just do the traps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many muskrat traps do you have set?
Well, I didn't set any this year. Mike had some set.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we get old. I knew he wanted to trap right close here, and that's the only place I'd be
mm-hmm.
trapping.
Right.
And I didn't go out in the valley because, well, when the season opened, there was very little snow.
Mm-hmm.
And my old machine,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the tender or nigger heads or whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
is awful rough
right.
on that old machine. It's only... The skis are only that far apart.
Yeah.
And by the time I had snow enough to get out there, I didn't figure it was worth going out.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much around to catch.
Mm-hmm.
So I never went out.
Mm-hmm.
There's always next year.
Yep. Well, do you mind if I take a few pictures of you and your thing? Barbara, did you have anything else
to add? Your camera.
That's
my camera.
You want to break your camera? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I won't be breaking the camera at all.